Well, it's delightful to be here. Thank you for having us. Thanks for... It's great to see some, I was going to say old faces, but they look the same to me. It's amazing how children grow up around us and we don't change. We just... Beautiful. Nice to see a lot of new faces. And a delight and a privilege to be here. I have a message on my heart this morning about spiritual gifts, and I want to preach very quickly. I've got too much to deliver in such a short space of time, so this is going to have to be a contact sport this morning. Okay, you can't be passive in this meeting, all right? Because to get passive, I'm going to have to, I have to touch a number of places very quickly. And if you're not engaged, if this is not contact sport for you, you're going to be daydreaming and you're going to be thinking about what you're going to order for lunch and what the wives are going to be thinking about, what their list of groceries is. And then you're going to come back and go, no, wait, slow down. I'm going to, I don't have time. Are you with me? All right. So I want to talk about spiritual gifts from God and what to do with them, because it seems to me that... there was a moment in time when the Holy Spirit seems to bring back waves of truth to the church, and they, much like a library, you take one of the books out of the library, begin to read that, that fills your mind and your mind space and your attention. It's not the whole library, but it is the focus right now. And when you finish that book, you put it back, put it in its place in the library. And so the Holy Spirit will bring back truths to the church in moments of time. Right now, there's a grace revolution. You can't swing a cat in theological circles around the world without having the Holy Spirit speak to the church about the grace of God. And the fascinating thing about the book of Acts is on the Acts 2, on the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, the crowd asked a number of questions that were really helpful. It's interesting, we think that if the Spirit of God is doing something, that everybody is going to go, oh, this is beautiful. This is the Spirit of God. How kind is He? How lucky are we? Let's embrace this with our whole heart. But you read the book of Acts, this is the promised day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is poured out, and you look at the reaction in Acts 2, what the crowd did towards the Holy Spirit, and it says they were perplexed, they were vexed, they were angry, they were confused, and some were mocking. How'd you like that in the church? You get up and preach a sermon from the Spirit of God, and they vexed and complexed and weirded out and mocking. And then they asked a few questions, and the questions are interesting. If you have some time, go read the Acts 2. It's not the sermon, but one of the first questions they ask is, how come we hear this message in all the languages of the world? One of the hallmarks of something that the Spirit of God is bringing back to the church is that you hear the message around the world at the same time. Every language, every denomination, every person, there's this like this, grace is on the agenda. Get on God's agenda. Praise God you are. Right? One of the things that I believe the Holy Spirit is now talking to us about is how does the church get into our world and make a difference? It's great that you know you're the righteousness of God in Christ. It's great that you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's great that you understand you are dead, buried, your sinful nature was circumcised, and you live in a newness of life. Behold, everything has become new. I'm thrilled for you. What difference does that make to this city? And so we have to start looking at the emphasis, I believe, that the Holy Spirit's bringing to the earth. The people who've caught the grace revolution is going, wonderful. That's not the end of the journey. First healthy step. Well done. Are you still with me? So we want to talk a little bit this morning about what happens now. Because eventually, as Bill Johnson said, you actually have to come to the place where you believe that you are forgiven. Now what? Because I spent 95% of my Christian life trying to earn God's favor. When I found out I already had it, I go, what do I do with all this spare time? So I want to talk a little bit this morning about how the Holy Spirit, how God has gifted the church. He is, Jesus is our head, we are His body. We are the ones who live on this planet. As He is, so are we. We are the ones, we are the body of Christ. We're supposed to make manifest the kingdom of God. The Bible says it was God's intent was that now through the church.
This is the mystery, Paul says, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, which prophets long to look into, angels long to understand, but it was hidden from them, but is now being made known since the time Jesus died to effect the covenant. The Bible says the covenant, the inheritance, was not put into effect until the testator died. The prophets of old all died. Hebrews 11 says they died leaning forward, hoping to see. Not one of them had yet received what had been promised to them. It was revealed to them that only together with us would they receive their inheritance, because the testator had not yet died. But when the one who writes the will is proven to be dead, the will comes into effect. And so this great mystery, which for ages past was God's ultimate plan, was that now, through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God be made demonstrated to the world. So here we go. You live in a moment of time. It's a noise in my head.
No, it's the radioactiveness from anointing.
Too many fillings I got assist. Okay. All right. So the multifaceted wisdom of God wants to be made manifest through you and through me. And so the question is, how do we do that? Now, and one of the ways the Lord wants to do is to effect that is he gives gifts to the church. I don't know about you, but I'm fighting my DNA. If I do not exercise and eat things that have no taste, I blossom. Every man in our family above the age of 50 is portly. They are. And they have no hair on the top of their heads. And I'm laying hands and declaring kind things over my hair and fighting, because I'm fighting my gene pool. My DNA is wired so that if I look at chocolate, I swell. I don't know what it is. And so you have a DNA. You are, the Bible says, Christ's handiwork. When you were woven together in your mother's womb, you were woven. The Bible says God wove you together. And so, but when you came to Christ in that moment of time, the Bible says you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared in advance for you to do, that you bear the fingerprints of Jesus. You have a DNA inside of you that is the gift of God. Now, you can be lazy with that DNA, or you can exercise. If I exercise hard for a long time and I eat green things, this is not food. This is what food eats. That's my problem. I always tell people, my food can eat your food. You know, it's like this. I want red. Anyway. If I co-labor and I exercise my body and I put in the right nutrients, I have the best form of the DNA that was given to me. I can't change my height, but I can affect how flabby my stomach is, how big my muscles are. I can co-labor. Now, you have a DNA inside of you, God-given and God-gifted. You can function in it at any time you decide to do so. But you can co-labor with the design of God in your life, and you can work with what he has given you, and you can become the most productive person in the spirit. And so for this reason, you have been given, the Bible says, the righteousness of Christ. But Paul says, now train yourself unto godliness. Train yourself to righteousness. You go, but that doesn't make sense. I'm already righteous. He says, yes, you have a DNA. Now, pick up some weights. Eat some greens. Drink some water. Stop drinking the Coke. But I want to speak to you about spiritual gifts then. You'll discover, because there's so much confusion about spiritual gifts and so many people spouting so many theories, let me just try and bring some clarity this morning, hopefully inspire you to a place where you're ready to say, Lord, sign me up. I want to use these gifts. Hopefully I can encourage you to the fact that these gifts are not only accessible, but they are easy for you to function in. You were designed, born, created in Christ Jesus to function naturally in a realm that is supernatural. It is not something that you have to work up to. You have to become more spiritual to get to. It's something that you can easily function in. So let me talk to you about spiritual gifts. Number one, You have to understand that each member of the Godhead has given to the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, a set of gifts. Okay? God the Father gave the bride grace gifts. And then Jesus gave doma gifts, or what is called Ephesians 4 gifts, and the Holy Spirit gave manifestation gifts. And if you understand that, you go, okay, that's helpful to me. Now, there are six different places, lists in the New Testament where spiritual gifts are mentioned. Each one of these six lists contains lists of different types of gifts. No two lists in the New Testament are alike. And you understand that there are three basic types of gifts, each that have their own list, and then some are mentioned in mixed up in other gifts. The unity of the body of Christ is the highest priority of any gift set. So anytime somebody gets up and starts using a gift for personal gain that causes damage to the body of Christ is not working well with the DNA inside of them. Every gift of God is given to build unity. And we can prove this from Scripture. I don't have time now, but Corinthians 12:12 says the body is a unit. Though it's made up of many parts, though its parts are many, they form one body. Now, goes into. Now, if your gift is this, then this is how you should use it. So every time you see a list of gifts mentioned out of the three, it's always given to the unity of the body. And they should, secondly, all reflect the nature of God. I cannot get up and function in a spiritual gift. Paul says, if you have faith that can move mountains. But have not love, then that profits nothing. If you can fathom all mysteries and gain all understanding, but don't function in the love of God, then that's worth nothing. You can speak in seven time different tongues and prophesy, yea, thus and so, but do not function in the nature of God. You're a clanging gong, a noisy cymbal. So they must reflect to the nature of God. Now, Corinthians 12:4 says there are different kinds of gifts. Stop there. If you don't understand that there are different kinds of gifts, then you've lost. So understand there are different kinds of gifts. There's a whole set of gifts that are manifestation gifts. That's one kind. There's a second set of gifts that are doma gifts that are to equip the church. That's a second kind. There's a third set of gifts, which is grace gifts, abilities and responsibilities God gives us. So I want to speak firstly to the set of gifts that God the Father gave everybody in the church. So this, if you're going to tune out, don't do it now. The next 10 minutes is important because these gifts are for everybody. Okay? Charisma. Romans 12:6 says we all have different charisma, is the Greek word, according to the charis that has been given to us. We have different grace gifts according to the grace that God has put on our lives. And you have them. 1 Peter 4:10 says each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. You have, I don't care how spiritual or unspiritual you feel, I don't care how anointed or how many times you've read the scriptures or not this week, God put a grace on your life when you came to faith in Jesus Christ, and many of you, he's put multiple graces on your life, and the scripture requires you to faithfully administer the grace of God on your life in service of other people. Okay, now that's an interesting list of gifts. The Greek word is charisma, a divine gratuity, a spiritual endowment, religious qualification, miraculous faculty, or a free gift. Now these gifts find their primary list in Romans 12:6-8, and there we find there are seven of them mentioned. And you can go through that list. They are prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, and showing mercy. I like this set of gifts because everybody's got it. Everybody's got them. Did you know that it is God has graced some people with the ability to generate wealth and to give it generously? How many of you would like that grace? God has graced some people with hospitality. We went the other day to somebody's house. I mean, I think I told this story last time. Went to somebody's house. They had us round for dinner. But they have a small little place, and they only have three chairs. And there's four of us. So I end up standing while they eat. We eat, I'm standing. They go, "Oh, I'm sorry we don't have any chairs." I go, "No, it's fine." But I'm standing and eating. Yeah. And then after the meal, they go, "Do you want some coffee?" I go, "I'd love some coffee." And they bring coffee, but there's no milk. I go, they put the coffee down. I say, "Thanks. Do you have any milk?" "Oh, yeah. Go get some milk." I'm back. "Thanks. Do you have any sugar?" "Oh. Bring sugar." "Thanks. You have a spoon?" You come to my house, my wife has a gift of hospitality. It's the easiest thing on the planet for her. You come to our house, the food is cooked. You walk in the house, there's candles lit, it looks pretty, there's plates on the table, everything's organized, everything's easy, everybody feels comfortable. It's the weirdest thing. People come into our house, they literally take their shoes off, kick back, because they feel at home, because she has a gift of hospitality. It's easy for her to function in her gift. She faithfully administers the gift of hospitality God put on her life. Now, those other people who had us, no hospitality bone anywhere near them, doesn't mean they're ugly people. They're beautiful, in love with Jesus people. They're wonderfully gifted in other areas. Just hospitality is not their thing. But the Bible says each one of you has some of these gifts. Each one of you. Now, there's some more. This list goes on. You'll find in 1 Peter 4:9, we add to that list hospitality and speaking. Some people have the ability to speak and creates peace. And I've seen some people in the marketplace that use this ability. You know the nice thing about God the Father is He gives you these gifts. You can use them in the marketplace. And most of you are. Most of the people who God has graced with the ability to generate wealth are using it. They drive the bigger cars and have the nicer houses and go on exotic vacations. I'm so thrilled for you. Really, there's no issue. Praise God. Thank you for using your gift. Because you use it to serve others as well. Because I have to get up and be faithful in the administration of my teaching gift. How'd you like it if I go, "I don't think I prepared today. I prepared last week." Corinthians 7:7 talks about celibacy as a grace gift. If you need this grace gift, you say, "Praise God for the gift." If you're married, you say, "Praise God, I don't have the gift." Amen? But if you're called to singleness, you'll thank God for that gift. Now, Exodus 31 talks about some people God has gifted with creative skill. You'll find every time that God had a temple being designed, He called people and He anointed them. He gave them grace to work with wood and stone and gold and silver and all these things. And both temples, both the tabernacle of Solomon of Moses and of Solomon, both God called people like that. And there are some people today, some people who write songs and some people who do creative stuff. God has gifted some people. Now, if that's your gift, use it. Church should be the most creative place on the planet. So these grace gifts are given by God the Father, and He gives them to everyone who He wants. Everybody has them. So 1 Peter 4:10 we've spoken about. Number two, the Bible says, do not neglect them. And that you can find in 1 Timothy 4:4. Don't neglect the grace that God put on your life. If God's grace is for you to communicate, communicate. If it is to be hospitable, be hospitable. If it's to show mercy, there are some people that God has given the ability to show mercy to people who are caught in sin without excusing the sin. It's not saying, "Oh, it doesn't matter." They go, "Hey, buddy, come on out of there. Come on. Let's break you free of that." But there's no condemnation. That's a gift. Some people can do it well. It says, don't neglect your gift that was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid hands on you. This intrigues me. These gifts can be given by the laying on of hands. Isn't that intriguing? This intrigues me. The ability to generate wealth and to give it generously can be given by the laying on of hands. That's an intrigue to me. Number three says, fan them into flame. I'm talking to the whole church now. You have a responsibility to fan into flame the gifts that are in your life. I want you to know I have a ripped six-pack underneath here. But I have to fan them into flame. Feels like flame when I'm fanning. I have to fan it into flame if I'm going to see it. There are some of the graces God's put on your life that are not going to be immediately, automatically evident every time you just want them. No, some of them, you have to fan it into flame. Some of it, it's an ember, a little spark that the Holy Spirit lit in your life. And if you'll tend it and fan it into flame, it'll grow and become something hugely productive for the kingdom. But you have to fan it before faithfully administer them. Be diligent. Just work at it. Do it in season, out of season, when it feels good, when it doesn't feel good, when it seems to work, when it doesn't seem to work. Exercise them. Work with them. Okay, so now we've got it. Are you all with me? I haven't lost anyone, have I? So you all have grace gifts. So now how do we work with them? Number one, we have to recognize them. You have to sit down and figure out what grace God put on your life. It's not hard. And if you don't know, ask your spouse. What am I good at? What comes easy to me? What is naturally good? Every one of you has these on your life. I guarantee you, because the Bible says so. Number two, the church's responsibility is to create a practical expression for them. There are some people who sit in this meeting. Every time there's a spelling mistake up there, it's the first thing you see. How many people are like that? There's a spelling mistake. You go, oh, they spelt it wrong. Now, Michelle is like, it's like a gift, man. She can look at a whole page of stuff and go, oh, there's a spelling mistake there. I got... Doesn't get me. But if we're going to put somebody on projection for the meeting, should it be her or me? It should be her. Because she gets it. Find your space. There's a gift on your life. Find your space. Number three, exercise of these gifts, humility, and the laying on of hands develops them. So how do we recognize? For leaders in the church, let me say, how do I recognize gifts? Well, the question we ask is, which way is grace flowing? And I've told this story before, but if we got somebody up here who just really felt this morning, God gave me a song, there was a word, God singing over you, and they go, oh yeah, I got the word, I got the song of the Lord, and they come up here and they tone deaf and they can't sing. But they love Jesus and they feel like they've heard from God, and they kill us with their song, they kill us softly. And I you. And they just want to sing the chorus one more time, you know. You go, no, Lord, help us. Now, the whole congregation is sitting there being gracious to them, right? Right? Go, okay, we're not going to laugh. We're not going to laugh. Going to say thank you. Get somebody up here who's really gifted musically. Same heart in love with Jesus. Same sense of I've got a word from the Lord. But they begin to minister. Grace flows from them, from their gift, onto all of us. Which way is grace flowing? If you put somebody in a leadership seat who's not grace to lead, everybody's in the meeting is on edge. Grace flowing the wrong way. Put somebody with a leadership gift in a meeting and they make space and everybody's at peace. Everybody's excited. Everybody's focused. Everybody's like, yeah, let's go do this thing. This works in every area. Put somebody who doesn't have the grace to teach and they start teaching, they get the thing wrong, and miss the timing, tell a joke, start with the punchline. No. Suck the grace out of you. Every one of us has been in places where the grace is flowing the wrong way. Huh? And it's not happy. But every one of us has been in a place where grace flows the right way. It's important that you find which way grace flows. How do I know? Well, look, when you do this, grace flows onto people. Number two, how do I recognize them? Look at where the people who are most frustrated and grumpy. I used to think that they were unspiritual. Come on, man. Can we not just get the spelling right on the thing? I go, you unsaved Philistine, you need to check your attitude. Now I go, you know what? We need you on that team. We need your gift. Why? Because when it's your gift, it's the easiest thing on the planet for you to function in the area God graced you. You go, you cannot believe why everybody doesn't see how simple this is. It's the easiest thing. You're graced with that ability, but the people who are not graced, yeah, thanks. You got a spoon? Don't get it. So when people get grumpy and frustrated, so it's like the Lord's bell ringing over your life. Doom, doom. This is an area for you. Use your gift faithfully. We went to a thing. They were bringing in some guy into our city. They wanted all the churches together, and they wanted to raise money. And they needed to raise a fair amount of money because they were doing this massive thing. And they were hiring a hall. And so I called the guy. I said, listen, if you're going to be at the meeting and you want to take up an offering, let me help you. And no, we're not taking up our offer. This is only explore. I go, okay, great. So we get into the meeting, all the pastors there, and then some woman gets up because she's all emotional about the moment. Ooh, and I just feel we should take up an offering now. Everybody, pass around, sign up your church. I'm going, sweetie, number one, I'm not going to do it now. Number two is I can't do it now. I don't have the authority to just write checks to you right now. I'm going to have to discuss this with an eldership team. The way you're going about it, she ruined it. I get so frustrated. I go, like, if you'd just give this to me, then the meeting comes. Fortunately, I was out of town. Now they're whipping the people, and I don't think I'm going to be able to fly home unless you give more. And you know, I just, sickening. Why? Because they got the wrong person in the wrong seat. Grace is being sucked out of everybody. Put somebody in there who goes, okay, listen, people, this is what we need. Can you help? Everybody's, yeah, sure. They would have paid for that thing one time with just a little bit of. There's some of you sitting here frustrated and grumpy. And I understand. But you have a responsibility, if that's you, to find your seat and exercise the grace that God put on you. Big question for me is, who is energized when you're done? See, the amazing thing about grace is when I sit in my grace seat and I begin to function in my grace, grace flows out of my life onto everybody else. But in the process of that grace beginning to flow, I get energized. I come down more amped after preaching than when I got up. I'm like, the other night I came back, I'd preached up at another church. I came back, we go, what are we doing? They were like, aren't you tired? I go, tired? I just ministered. What keeps you up at nights? What? When you finish, you go, let's go do that again. I guarantee you there's stuff like that on your life. Okay. Are you tracking? So everybody's got grace gifts. You should function and you should faithfully administer them. Make a plan. Use what God gave you. Why? Because you are the body of Christ on the earth. God gifted you for a reason. He wants you to use your gifts. And he doesn't mind that your gifts bless you out of the park. But he wants you to use your gifts primarily to serve others, faithfully administering his grace in various forms. Not just the church, the world as well. Second set of gifts is the gifts that Jesus gave to the church. Are you still tracking with me? Jesus gave the gifts a set of gifts. They're called doma. The Greek word is doma. It means a present, like a Christmas present or a birthday gift. It's a gift. And the Bible says when Jesus ascended, that when he went back to heaven to prepare a place for his bride, he gave gifts to men, which was traditional in the Jewish culture, that when a rich guy was engaged to a woman and he went away, he left gifts for her, which was jewelry, which was called the deposit to guarantee what is to come. And Paul says the Holy Spirit has been given to us as that deposit to guarantee what is to come. And then if he was a wealthy man, he'd leave servants with the bride, with his fiancée, to guard her and to prepare her for his return. And the Bible says when Jesus went back to make a place for us in the heaven, he gave gifts to men. These are attendants of the bride. And he gave them to some people. Not everybody is an apostle or a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor or a teacher. But he gave some to be. This is the gift of Jesus to his bride. They are servants, attendants of the bride, whose responsibility it is to equip the bride to do the works of service until we all grow up, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is what our job is. So it means a gift, a present. Jesus gave to some people this responsibility as a doma gift. And that list you'll find in Ephesians 4:11, and it's the five. And so let's just ask some questions of the text. When were they given? When Jesus ascended. Who gave them? Jesus. Who has them? Some people. How many did he give? There were five. What is their purpose? And we've spoken about that. How long are they valid? Interesting question. It's an important question. Because some people go, no, no. Apostles and prophets, they petered out with Peter. When Peter died, we're done. Now, it was he who gave some to be evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Because the first two we don't know and like. No, the Bible says he gave five, and he gave them until. Until when? Until we all reach unity in the faith. And in the knowledge of the Son of God. And become mature. And we all attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Are you there? Now, if we're going to work with them, how do we do this? What's the best thing to do? Because some people have been given as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And if that's how we've been given, then the question is, how do we respond? How do we co-labor with these people? I am a servant of the bride, but the bride is not my master. I have been given by Jesus to serve the bride of Christ. The bride's passion and her preference is not mine to serve. I am called by my King to equip her for his return. I have been given authority commensurate with the calling on my life. I have authority to equip the bride. I have no authority to take advantage of her, and I have no authority to hurt her or harm her. We spoke about this yesterday morning. I encourage you to get that. I don't have time to go through it, but there's a more comprehensive understanding of these attendants of the bride and how they function. Only, let me just say that my response as an attendant of the bride is to be a servant to the bride in such a way that I encourage and equip the bride to get up and start doing what God called her to do. And that the bride makes herself ready for Jesus' return by doing the things that I'm teaching her, I'm equipping her how to do. So my responsibility is to equip the bride, is to spur you on, is to encourage you to do all that God is telling you to do. And so my responsibility in the church is not to do the ministry. My responsibility is to provoke the ministry. Don't go, how come these elders, why don't they do it? Well, their job is to equip you. They're the coaches. They're not supposed to be on the field. If we send out the blue bulls, or the sharks, and the blue bulls coach, the blue bulls coach is playing the sharks. One guy, a kickoff, he takes the ball. And somehow the church goes, somehow, we got this idea that the players are supposed to be sitting on the bench commenting on the coach's performance. No, I'll give that a 3. And when he caught the ball, he should have stood his ground more. Sounds silly when you say it that way, doesn't it? Interestingly, Paul said, I went up to Jerusalem to those who seemed to be the leaders. It's a fascinating concept to me that he didn't know who the leaders were. I think these guys were the leaders. How did Paul not know who the leaders were? If you come into our church, you know exactly who the leaders are. They're the guys who minister. Paul walked up to the church. There was someone driving out demons. He goes, you one of the leaders? He goes, no. Oh, she's driving out demons. Yeah, we do that here. Oh. There's a guy there counseling. Are you one of the leaders? No. Oh. Was you counseling? Yeah. He needed it. Someone praying for healing. People getting healed. You must be one of the leaders? No. These signs should follow all who believe. Oh. We're the leaders. The leaders emerge when there's direction or correction that's necessary. But if we're going in the right direction and everybody's behaving, you should not be able to see who the leaders are because everybody's ministering. It's okay. That'll hit you next week. If you're going to have Ephesians 4 ministry in, recognize them. See, Jesus said, if you receive a prophet because he is a prophet, you will receive the reward of the prophet. The Bible says Jesus got up and went to Nazareth. He wanted to go to his hometown. He wanted them to break through in the things of the kingdom. And he started to preach, Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me. And he declared a jubilee. In that culture, he was declaring, this is the day of the favor of the Lord. The emancipation of all debt, freedom from all bondage, release from every chain. And you can go back and receive your inheritance. This is the proclamation of jubilee. And he said, it starts today. Right here. And the Bible says everybody, the whole room, you know those times when the weight of the glory of God is there and the whole room is dead silent and the Bible says the eyes of everyone in the room were set on him. And then one guy at the back said, no, this is just Jesus. He has his sister and his mom. You can't fool us. This is the carpenter's boy. We were lucky we didn't buy that. And then they go, yeah. And then 10 minutes later, they want to kill him. And Jesus, the Bible says, could do very little there. Just heal a few people. Why? He went to his hometown. They could have had a glory day. But in their eyes, he was just the carpenter's boy. You may look at some of the Ephesians 4 guys that come in and go, I could do better than him. What is that? I'm just telling you, if you honor and respect them as a gift of God, you receive the reward that God intended to bring through their lives. So recognize them, receive them, reward them. Third set of gifts is what we call manifestation gifts. The gifts of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit to make manifest the heart, the will, the mind of God in a meeting. The Greek word, phanerosis, means an exhibition, an expression, a bestowment, and a manifestation. You can find them primarily in Corinthians 12, from verse 8 to 10, message of wisdom, message of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretations. Let me just say about these manifestation gifts. The grace gifts that God the Father gives, he gives to everyone. The doma gifts that Jesus gives, he gives to some. The manifestation gifts that are available to all, but not everybody's going to function in every gift in every meeting. Because if everybody functioned in prophecy just for 2 minutes in this meeting, we'd be here all day. That's not a bad thing. Paul says, you can all prophesy in turn so that we can all be built up and strengthened. We just don't all have the time to all function in every gift, but everybody can function in every gift. So don't get this confused because some people go, but the Holy Spirit distributes them severally as he wills. Yeah, because he comes into the meeting and he's the director of the meeting and he stands up and he goes, because he uses the furnishings of your mind. So he goes, remember that? Remember that thing? I want you to tell them that story and then this is what I'm saying. And it's unique to you. And so the Holy Spirit says, I want you to speak. I want you to speak in tongues. I want you to bring that prophetic word. I want you to bring that hymn. I want you to bring that scripture. And if we'll listen to the Holy Spirit, he will orchestrate a clarity and a beauty, a revelation of the heart of God to us this morning. That's why everybody, when you come to church, come ready. The Holy Spirit tap on the front. Okay. Everybody's eyes on me. You ready? Speak that word. Bring that encouragement. Read that scripture. Sing that song. When you come together, Paul says, everyone has a word or a hymn or an instruction or a tongue or a prophecy. All of these should be given. So everybody can function in these manifestation gifts, but not everybody's going to function in every meeting. But if you never function in a meeting or when you're out there in your job or when you're among your family, if you never function in them, then you're missing out on a phenomenally exciting ride that the Spirit of God is saying, here, you want this. Now, let me just tell you some things about it. Number one, these gifts don't reflect spiritual maturity. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, I cannot address you as spiritual, but as infants, mere babes in Christ. That's Corinthians 2. Corinthians 11, he says, now your meetings are doing more harm than good. Corinthians 12, he says, now about spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. So here you have a church who's functioning in spiritual gifts, mere babies, infants in Christ, don't know their left arm from their right, but they're functioning in tongues and prophesying. We've somehow got in our heads that if you function in these gifts, you're on the deep end of the spiritual gene pool. No, you're not. Your babies in Christ can do this. I got saved when I was a boys' high in Pretoria. I got saved 2 weeks after I was saved. I was leading a prayer meeting in the gym, and the guys gave their life to the Lord. I prayed for him. He got baptized, and the Holy Spirit started speaking in tongues. He was like, what's going on? I go, no, don't worry. I can't explain, but it's okay. So I said, just keep going. So he's speaking in tongues. The guy sitting next to me just gave his life to the Lord. He goes, there's a phrase. It keeps going round and round in my head. I said, what is it? It's the interpretation of the tongue. 5 minutes old in God. Babies in Christ. I hope that gives you some peace that you're in. Okay? You can function in these gifts. You don't have to grow more. You don't have to know more. Unless you gave your life to the Lord while I was preaching, your thing. So number two, the Holy Spirit uses the furnishing of your mind. He's going to come and take, he's going to rummage around in your spirit what's there, and he's going to use it to speak to you. Little memories, or little scriptures you know, and little, sometimes you can see, sometimes people haven't been in the Word, but they've been watching movies, and they go, you know, there's that movie. Why? Because the Holy Spirit just used whatever's there. Because go, okay, I need to use you. Come on now. We had a guy, I don't want to mention names. We had a guy that we were in ministry with who was in the Air Force. And then he came in the Air Force into the ministry. He'd always prophesy. You know, on the hydraulics of a jet, there's an arm. And then this is what the Lord is saying. Go, yeah. Because the Lord just used the furnishings of his mind. The Lord's going to use the furnishings of your mind. I don't know. If God speaks, it's going to be 16-part harmony of the angels and a strange light will fill up the room. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit's going to whisper to you. I dare you to be bold enough to use it. They should be eagerly desired. Let me just tell you, this is a key. How come in our church we don't function in the gifts? Well, with these gifts, Corinthians 12 and Corinthians 14, the last verse in Corinthians 12, first verse in Corinthians 14, says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. Then he talks about love. Then he comes out, he says, now follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. If you want to function in these manifestation gifts, they come when you eagerly desire them. There was a moment in my life when I eagerly desired a word of knowledge. And so I used to come to every service when I was at Hatfield. Every single service, I'd say, Lord, give me a word of knowledge. And he began to give me a word of knowledge. But then it started to get increasingly better. Then I'd go, there's a guy here. Your name is Rupert. And your big left toe is hurting. And then it was fun. Because you could say, there's someone here with a headache. That's like, anyway, yeah. Anytime you get 1,000 people together, someone's got a headache. That wasn't, so I started to trust the Lord for more and more. And for months it went on, and every week I'd be up at the ministry mic. The Lord's giving me a word of knowledge. And one day I sat down, I go, today, I'm not. And I'm sitting there, Lord gives me a word of knowledge. So I said, Lord, I'm not. So a lady sitting next to me, she says, the Lord just gave you a word of knowledge, and he says you must go and give it. That's easy for you to say. See, friends, we think this is only for church, but I'm telling you, this is for life. Anytime of your day or night, in business, in family, you go, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? It's as easy as that. He just give you a word, he give you something. We had a guy recently come, a couple of years back. We want a divorce. Now, it had been a rocky marriage. He said, I want a divorce. It was an urgency. So I go, okay. What's her name? He says, who? I said, your girlfriend. No, there's another woman. Okay, so just you and I do coffee. So I take him to breakfast, we have a coffee. I say, listen, this is not my first rodeo. I've been here 7 times before. Every other time when there's this urgency, there's another woman. What's her name? No, there's no other woman. So I ask the Lord, what's her name? So he told me, he said, Sarah. I said to him, her name is Sarah. He says, no. I said, that's funny, because that's what the Lord told me her name is. No, no, there's no other woman. Said, okay. Next day he calls me. Can we talk? I said, sure. That night he went home, told his wife, there is another woman, her name is Sarah. He went home, started to tell his wife, they had an encounter with God. He repented, broke. They had the best 6 months of marriage from that moment on of their entire 25-year marriage. They left our church soon after that because he got promoted. They now run the marriage ministry in their church. Don't tell me that's not exciting. And it's not hard. Oh, that's deep end of the gene pool. No, it's not hard. The same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus anointed you. The same ability, the same way Jesus functioned on the earth, you function on the earth. I had one of the businessmen in our church. I understand you had some great testimonies last week, but one of the businessmen in our church is sitting in a meeting. And there's a $40 million deal on the table. It's not a time to be, you know, talking about the Lord, you know, in that sense. None of them are Christians, and the Lord gives them, says, say this to the guy. Now. Because look, he says, hey, I just, boom. Guy starts weeping in the meeting. Everybody out. The guy, he spent 45 minutes ministering to the guy with a $40 million deal still sitting on the table. We had another guy, he had this deadline. He's going to have to work through the night, through the next day. He's going, there's no ways I'm going to get this project done. But it's got to get done, and it's big money. I guess the Lord says, Lord, what do I do? The Lord says, I want you to rest tomorrow. Because you mean take the day off? Yeah. Just spend it with your family. Okay, Lord, if I work through the night tonight and all day tomorrow, I'll have a skeleton ready. The Lord says, no, rest. I said, okay. Spend time with the family. That night, Monday night, Tuesday morning, supposed to be, the guy calls him, listen, yeah, we have to change some stuff around. We don't need it for another 3 weeks. See, this is real life, people. You have an unbelievable advantage over anybody who doesn't know the Lord. Because you're indwelt by the God who marked off the breadth of the heavens by the span of his hand, indwells you. Clarity and simplicity are the most effective ingredients. I remember one day we went to a meeting, and I'm almost close to a time. A lady came to me and she said, oh, help me, Lord. I got now some. Pastor. Pastor. Yes. When you walked in, I saw turtle doves. I said, what do you feel like the Lord's saying? No, that's it. Like, am I St. Francis of Assisi? What does that mean? Unhelpful to me. Unhelpful. Don't be weird. Seriously, don't be weird. Just be normal. Do you ever see Jesus? I don't know, Jesus said some strange things, but Jesus was normal. With the Spirit of God without measure, the Bible says, on his life. But you didn't even see Jesus doing weird stuff. Just be normal. As far as you possibly can be. Paul says, listen, if you're going to blow the trumpet for, hey, it's time to come for a meal, and that sounds very similar, like it's wake up everybody, the enemy's attacking. Let there be a differentiation in notes, Paul says, so that everybody knows what to do. It's unhelpful if 17 people speak in tongues and there's no interpretation. Or somebody shouts from the back and then people over here can't hear. Unhelpful. Sure, you're manifesting spiritual gifts, but in an immature fashion. you can have meetings that do more harm than good because you're functioning in an immature response to a beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit. So you have to grow up. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant in the use. You mere babies are ignorant in the way you're functioning in spiritual gifts, and people are leaving your meetings. Well, we're just manifesting spiritual gifts. Yes, but you're like a three-year-old with a shotgun. Nice when you're pointing away from me. Not nice when you're pointing at me. They are supposed to be judged by the congregation and the leaders. There's such a beautiful discernment on the body of Christ. We can trust you. How many of you know when somebody gets up and does something stupid or weird, how many of you go, oh, that might be God? Now you all go, that's stupid and weird. I wonder why the leaders aren't stopping that. Isn't that true? It's not hard. We don't have to be nervous. We go, that's weird. Their timing and style can be controlled. You don't understand. Spirit of the Lord gave me a word. Yeah, and the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That's what the Bible says. So, you don't have to scream from where you are. You can get up and come and submit it. And we can wait for the best moment to bring it. Why? Because clarity is helpful. You don't understand. No, I understand. I do. I really do. Sometimes the Spirit of God puts His hand on me and I weep. This is the most common thing. I come unglued. The worst thing to do is give me a microphone then. Don't give me a microphone. John the Apostle is being shown around heaven by an angel. He's just so blown away. But this is John. He's in his 90s. The great Apostle of God leaned back on Jesus' breast and go, oh, this is so phenomenal. Starts worshiping the angel. The angel says, what are you doing? He's just so caught up in the encounter that he... So twice it happened. The angel says, stop it. Go, oh, yeah, sorry. They walk on a little more. He starts worshiping the angel again. Twice. You want to give him the microphone? Peter goes up the Mount of Transfiguration. There's Moses and Elijah. He goes, this is phenomenal. I'm start building houses. The Bible says he didn't know what he was saying. He's in an encounter. Jesus is glorious in front of him. Don't give him the microphone. I'm okay if you're having an encounter with God. That's beautiful. But don't then demand the microphone in the middle of it. That's what elders are for. Are you tracking? You look like I'm saying bad things. In manifestation gifts, you owe lost people consideration. Because Paul said, if some unbeliever, somebody who doesn't understand, comes into your meeting and you're all being weird, they'll run out there and say, you're out of your minds. I do not care one little bit for religious people who go, oh, you're not allowed to do that. That doesn't hold me. Like, I have no problem. If you have an issue, it sounds like a personal problem. But lost people who come into the meetings and get freaked out, we owe them consideration. You tracking? We owe lost people consideration. Because Paul says, if you speak in tongues, and this will be a sign for unbelievers, and if you prophesy according to the Spirit of God, the secrets of their heart will be laid bare, and they will say, surely God is in this place. See, one of the most powerful evangelistic tools is biblical prophecy. We had some people come into our church to come and visit, husband and the wife, and somebody brought a word of knowledge. He got so ticked with his wife because he was convinced that she came up and told us. He's ticked with it. He wants to leave. She's going, secrets of his heart laid bare. It's the way it should be. All right, let's close. Here's the point, friends. You are the body of Christ on the earth. He wants to use you supernaturally, powerfully to change this world. You can do it. It is easy. It is in your DNA. You are wired and gifted by God, created in Christ Jesus to function naturally in these realms. Some of you have been given a grace gift by the Father. Everybody has grace gifts the Father has given you. I counsel you to find a place where the grace that God put on your life can serve other people so that that grace flows in this church. The Bible says of the early church, and much grace was upon them all. You can share the grace of God by exercising the grace gift that He put on your life. Exercise your abilities. Serve others with them, and much grace will be upon the church. If the church lacks grace, it's because people like you are withholding it. Oh. Let's move on. That one didn't take anywhere. There are some dharma gifts. There are some people, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that God will connect to your church. He connects them to you not because He wants to blow sunshine up their nose or because they need to be heralded as something else. No, because there is a nutrient that He looks at this church and says, this person with their unique gifting will be able to add that nutrient to the diet of what I'm doing here, and that will be tremendously beneficial to you. If you recognize them and encourage them and open your hearts to them, you will receive the reward that Jesus intended from them. So I counsel you to listen and look to people who God brings into your church and open your heart to them. And then third set of gifts, the manifestation gifts, are given by the Holy Spirit to make manifest the will of God. Jeremiah 9, one of my favorite verses, 22. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the rich man boast of his riches. Let not the strong man boast about his strength. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that He knows and understands me. That you know and understand God. That I am the God who exercises kindness. If we stopped people in the street to tell us about who God is, would they say He is the God who loves to exercise kindness on the earth? God said, if you're going to boast about something, I'm not impressed with all that stuff. I gave all that other stuff to you. So don't come back to me and go, oh, look what I got. Yeah, I gave it to you. He's not impressed. Don't boast about that stuff. If you're going to boast about something that's meaningful, then come and boast about this, that you get me, that you know and understand me, because I am the God who exercises kindness, righteousness, and justice on the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. God loves exercising kindness on the earth. The way He has chosen to do that is through the church. Are you with me? Tomorrow, in business, at home, at school, wherever you go, God remains the God who delights to exercise kindness. And He gave you manifestation gifts to make Him manifest. So you're going to bump into somebody who's got a sickness or a disease, say, look, do you mind? Let me just pray for that. Because God delights to exercise kindness on the earth through the church. And that's you. And I go, well, I'm not spiritual enough. You're plenty spiritual. Let me pray for you. It's been so nice to see you. Thanks for having us. We're going to be here tonight. Amen. My daughter and her husband. We brought my daughter's American husband to see Africa because, you know, Americans don't know about Africa. You got to come see Africa. So they're going to be with us tonight. It's a delightful young man. And so if you can make it, please come and join us tonight. We'd love to see you. We're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. Let me pray with you if I can. Father, thank you for this expression of your body in this place. And I pray, Lord, for each of us, for a profound opportunity this week to exercise all three sets of gifts. I ask, Lord, for supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit tomorrow and the day after in the circumstances of every person in this room's life. I thank you, Lord, that you would show them how easy and how attainable it is to function in these gifts. And I pray for them, Lord, for just a glorious day. Make it profound, Lord. Make it glorious. Why not tomorrow, Lord? Why not glory? We pray for glory on everybody in this room and in their circumstances tomorrow, in Jesus' name. Amen.